Sarvada Kupita Uchur Gurvinito Yam Arvaka Kadarti Krishna Kanyam Akama Maharaj Balat. The angry Kuru said, "This ill-behaved boy has offended us, forcibly kidnapping our unmarried daughter against her will." But mite mam durvinitam kim karishyati krishnaya. Yesma prasado pachitam datam no gunjate him. Arrest this ill-behaved sangha. What will the Rishnis do? By our grace, their ruling land that we have granted them. Nikrihitam sutam shutva yadveshyantiha krishnaya bhagna bhagava shamam yanti prana iva sasamyata. If the Rishis come here when they learn that their son has been captured, we will break their pride. Thus, they'll become subdued, like bodily senses brought under strict control. Iti karna shalo purir, yetriketu suyodana, sammamari vire yodhum, kuru vridan molita. After saying this, and having their plan sanctioned by the senior member of the Kuru dynasty, Karna, Shala, Muri, Yajnaketu, and Suyodhana set out to attack someone. Purport. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that the elder of the Kurus mentioned here is Bhishma, who gave permission to the younger men as follows. Quote, "Since this maiden has now been touched by Sambha, she cannot take any other husband. He must become her husband. Nonetheless, you should arrest him and tie him up to make a statement about his impropriety and our own prowess. But in no case should he be killed." Unquote. The Acharya also adds that Bhishma accompanied the five warriors mentioned in this verse. Drishvanu Dhavata Sambho Dhartarashtra Mahavata Pragrihya Ruchiranjaham Tasto Simha Ivaikala. Seeing Duryodhana and his companions rushing toward him, Sambha, the great chariot fighter, took up his splendid bow and stood alone like a lion. Tante Jigrik Shava Frutas Tishta Tishteti Vashina Asatya Dangino Vanai Karna Granya Samakira. Determined to capture him, the angry bowman led by Karuna shouted at Sambha, "Stand and fight! Stand and fight!" They came straight for him and showered him with arrows. So Pavida Kurusheshta Kurubir Yadinandana Namrishya Tada Chintyarika Sinha Shudra Mrigarika. O best of the Kurus, as Krishna's son Sambha was being unjustly harassed by the Kurus, that darling of the Yadu dynasty did not tolerate their attack, any more than a lion would tolerate an attack by puny animals. Purport. Commenting on the word achintyarika, Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna, "Sambha, the glorious son of the Yadu dynasty, was endowed with inconceivable potencies as the son of Lord Krishna. Vispurajya ruchiranjakam sarvam vidyada sarikai karnadim shadratan viras tavapir yugapatritak chaturvish chaturo baham ekakena chasaratim ratinashcha mahish vasans tasya tate vyupujaya. Twanging his wonderful bow, heroic Sanda struck with arrows the six warriors headed by Karna. He pierced the six chariots with his many arrows, each team of four horses with four arrows, and each chariot driver with a single arrow. And he similarly struck the great bowmen who commanded the chariots. The enemy warriors congratulated Sanda for this display of prowess. Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments, while Sanda was so diligently fighting alone with the six great warriors, they all appreciated the inconceivable potency of the boy. Even in the midst of fighting, they admitted frankly that this boy Sanda was wonderful. Tantute viratan chakrush, chakvaras chaturlokaya, ekas tu sadatin chakne, chichedanyam sharasana. But they forced him down from his chariot, and thereupon four of them struck his four horses. One of them struck down his chariot driver, and another broke his bow. Tambadva virati kritya, Krishna Kurubo Yudhi, Kumaru Swasya Kanyam Cha, Swapuran Jayano Visham. Having deprived Sanda of his chariot during the fight, the Kuru warriors tied him up with great difficulty, and then returned victorious to their city, taking the young boy and their princess. Tachtrutva Naradoktena, Rajan Sanjata Mahiva. Kurun Pat Yudhyamam Chakrur, Ugrasena Prachokita. O King, when the youngest heard news of this from Sri Narada, they became angry. Urged on by King Ugrasena, they prepared for war against the Kurus. Purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, the great sage Narada immediately carried the news to the Yadu dynasty that Sanda was arrested and told them the whole story. The members of the Yadu dynasty became very angry at Sanda's being arrested, and improperly so, by six warriors. Now, with the permission of the head of the Yadu dynasty's king, Ugrasena, they prepared to attack the capital city of the Kuru dynasty. Sanvayitva Chutan Rama, Sanadan Rishni Pungadan, Naichat Kurunam Rishninam, Kalin Kalam Nalapaha, Jagama Hastinapuram, Ratinadi Chavarchasa, Brahmanai Kudavridascha, Vridas Chandra Nimagrahai. Lord Balaram, however, cooled the tempers of the Rishni heroes, who had already put on their armor. He who purifies the age of quarrel did not want a quarrel between the Kurus and Rishnis. Thus, accompanied by Brahmins and family elders, he went to Hastinapur on his chariot, which was as effulgent as the sun. As he went, he appeared like the moon, surrounded by the ruling planets. Just one interesting point. Lord Balaram here is referred to as Kali Malapaha. He who purifies the ancient planet. This is one name of Lord Balaram. I don't know if it refers to any particular pastime of his or perhaps his appearance as Lord Nityananda. But this is one name of Lord Balaram, Kali Malapaha. He who removes the contamination of Kali Yuga. Gatvaga Jatya Vayam Rama, Vayu Pavanam Astita, Udavam Reshayam Asa, Dhritarashtram Vutsaya. Upon arriving at Hastinapur, Lord Balaram remained in a garden outside the city and sent Uddhava ahead to probe King Dhritarashtra's intentions. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, when Lord Balaram reached the precincts of the city of Hastinapur, he did not enter but stationed himself in a camp outside the city in a small garden house. Then he asked Uddhava to see the leaders of the Kuru dynasty and inquire from them whether they wanted to fight with the Yadu dynasty or to make a settlement. So vivant yambika putram vijan dronam chapaka duryodhanam chavidivad ravamakatam apravit. After he had offered proper respects to the son of Ambika, Dhritarashtra, and to Bhishma, Drona, Balika, and Duryodhana, Uddhava informed them that Lord Balaram had arrived. Perfect. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti points out that there is no reference here to Uddhava offering respects to Yudhisthira and his associates, since at that time the Pandavas were staying in Indraprastha. Teti Pritastamakkaranyam Praptam Ramam Surittama Tamarchayat Vadiyayu Sarve Mangalapanaya. Overjoyed to hear that Balaram, their dearmost friend, had come, they first honored Uddhava and then went forth to meet the Lord, carrying auspicious offerings in their hands. Purport. In Krishna, Srila Prabhupada writes, the leaders of the Kuru dynasty, especially Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana, were very joyful because they knew very well that Lord Balaram was a great well-wisher of their family. There were no bounds to their joy on hearing the news, and so immediately they welcomed Uddhava. In order to properly receive Lord Balaram, they all took in their hands auspicious paraphernalia for his reception and went to see him outside the city door. Tam sangamya yatanyaya gamargyam cha yavetvedayam tesham yetat prabhatya pranemo shirasatnam. They approached Lord Balaram and worshipped him with gifts of cows and arya, as was fitting. Those among the Kurus who understood his true power bowed down to him, touching their heads to the ground. Purport. The Acharyas explained that even the elders like Bhishmadeva also bowed down to Lord Baladeva. Bandhun Kushalina Shrutva Krishva Shivananaya Parasparam Mato Rama Babashe Viklavam Vacha. After both parties had heard that their relatives were doing well, and both had inquired into each other's welfare and health, Lord Balaram forthrightly spoke to the Kurus as follows. Purport. Srila Prabhupada writes, they all exchanged words of reception by asking one another of their welfare. When such formality was finished, Lord Balaram, in a great voice and very patiently, submitted before them the following words for their consideration. Ugrasena Shateshesho Yadva Adhya Payakrapu Tada Vyagra Diya Shrutva Kurudvam Abhilamutam. Lord Balaram said, King Ugrasena is our master and the ruler of kings. With undivided attention, you should hear what he has ordered you to do, and then you should do it at once. Yad yulyam bahavastvekam jipvadarmena darvikam abhagmitata tan rishye bandhunam aitya kamyaya. King Ugrasena has said, Even though by irreligious means several of you defeated a single opponent who follows the religious codes, still I am tolerating this for the sake of unity among family members. Purport. Here, Ugrasena implies that the Kuru should immediately bring Sabla and present him to Lord Balaram. Viryashorya Balona Nam, Akrashakti Samamacha, Kurava Valadevasya, Nisham Yochu Prakopita. Upon hearing these words of Lord Baladev's, which were full of potency, courage, and strength, and were appropriate to his transcendental power, the Kauravas became furious and spoke as follows. This brings us to verse 24. Ahom, Mahaj, Chitra, Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Svapitanyena Bhutane Swayam Rupa Gadamaya Adhidhati Svapitantikam Vajkabhkarini Stakrifa Sindhirvyevacha Padhidhana Padhidhana Vaishnavirvyena Mahama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Kamanityananda Shri Adhidhati Vaishnavirvyena Mahama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Aho mahat chitramidam kalagatidhiratiya Aram satchipala kabai shira mukata sevitam The Kuruman will say, oh, how amazing this is! The force of time is indeed insurmountable. A lowly shoe now wants to climb on the head that bears the royal crown. So, it's very interesting. Like a study of human nature, perhaps, or something like that, at least of their natures, that they came out, all these very senior people, including Bhishma Dev and various others, and they received Lord Balaram very nicely. Bhishmadeva was there, and the one verse we read says that those among the gurus who understood his true power bowed down to him, touching their heads to the ground. So, Bhishma, of course, and various others of his age group, they were considerably older. They were two generations older than Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram is same age as the Pandavas, and Bhishma is, as we saw at Ravyatra, he is the grandson. He's like the grandfather, actually. Not just father, but more like grandfather, although not directly, of course, but they saw him in that capacity. And he always helped the Pandavas. In fact, there were many plots and different conspiracies and attempts to kill the Pandavas. But Bhishma did whatever he could to protect them. And he trained them and watched over them in the absence of the actual father. But he was in the position like grandfather. So even though he was very senior, but he offered his obeisances to Lord Balaram, understanding that Lord Balaram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, and there were others also. They offered their obeisances to Lord Balaram. And on the whole, the mood was extremely favorable. Duryodhana, as we know, he was the favorite student of Lord Balaram. And there was some bond, quite strong bond between them on those grounds. And so that Lord Balaram is the teacher of Duryodhana. So naturally, Duryodhana, when that news came out, he was also very respectful. Lord Balaram is the senior, is his teacher. And he knew he had become so successful in the military science simply by the mercy of Lord Balaram. So, of course, we know very well in Vedic culture the etiquettes and all the standard systems of dealing with different types of people who are on different levels and so on. This was all very stringent, very strict. But still, even though Balaram was the junior of some of them, they offered respect. They bowed down to him, touching their heads to the ground. So on the whole, there was either a very favorable and affectionate attitude, or a very respectful attitude amongst the various members of the Kuru dynasty who came out. But then as soon as Lord Balaram presented, made his presentation, then all of that was forgotten, and suddenly the Kurus spoke the very insulting words which we just read in the last verse. This is extremely offensive, actually, to try to belittle the Yadus, but particularly to try to belittle Lord Balaram, because he's also one of the Yadus. This is extremely offensive, and it's really like a complete change of consciousness from very affectionate, very warm, or very respectful to extremely offensive. So, well, as they say here, Kala Gatya Duratyaya, looks like the age of Kali has begun. Little do they know that it is them who is reflecting this degradation, degraded consciousness of the age of Kali, and not the Yadus or Umarasena, or specifically Lord Balaram. Because Lord Balaram, in order to speak that, those words he did, that in order to speak them, he has to accept it. He is also behind that statement. He feels it's correct. So they're definitely insulting him indirectly, but also directly. That who do you think you are? The shoes want to go on the head. Of course, we know very well in our Christian conscious culture there is much talk about feet. Feet are widely discussed in Christian consciousness. Not shoes. You don't find a discussion about this type of shoe, that type of shoe, the latest fashion, but you find lots of talk about the feet in very nice terms. Lotus feet. How sweet those lotus feet. Yes, but shoes not taken so seriously. We would rather have the bare foot. At least someone else's. On our heads, that we want. The lotus feet of some worshipful person is considered very amazing, very great, very wonderful. On the other hand, the feet are the lowest part of the body, and they are in touch with the dirty ground, or they're they're kicked within shoes, and in this way they become unpleasant over during the course of the day, perhaps more so than most other parts of the body. So on one hand, the possessor of the feet is thinking, who needs my feet? My feet are horrible, unpleasant, smelly, dirty. My feet, no good. But the other person, in their humility, is feeling that this other person, the person we just mentioned to, doesn't think his feet are particularly nice. But the other person is thinking, oh, you are so great. You are so wonderful. Your association is so valuable, extremely valuable. Contact with you is so beneficial that even your feet are glorious. What to speak of the rest? What to speak of your head? But even your feet, and me, I'm so lonely, I will just take your feet. That will be more than enough for my life. In this way, as we know very well, we have this foot culture in Christian consciousness, the culture of the feet. And it is a fact that some Western scholars who have studied the Vedic literatures have commented on this point in a sort of, you know, perplexed state of mind. There's all this talk about feet. And, you know, so feet are really special, but, you know, we all know feet are not so special. Yes, but Vedic culture, there is great humility. And this is part of it. That this person, other person, is so great, even their feet, if I could just have one of their feet on my head, that would be my greatest good fortune. Or even as Lord Chaitanya prayed, as we sing every or chant every day, I nanda tanaja kinkara padita maushimeva ambuda kripaya tava pada pankaja stita duli sakrisha chintaya. Just stita duli, let me become like one little piece of dust under your lotus feet. One of your lotus feet. Duli, Pada Duli, the dust of the feet. So, just one. I don't need all. If I could just become one little scrap, then that would be my extreme good fortune. Or we also read in other places that someone is praying that let me get just one of the rays which is emanating from your effulgent toenails. If just one ray could touch me, I would be so fortunate. So this is the culture in Christian consciousness. Great humility, great appreciation like this. Whereas in the non-Vedic culture, of course there are different versions of non-Vedic cultures, but in the non-Vedic culture, the principle of humility is conspicuous by its absence to a very large extent. That, for example, the idea when they see the devotees bowing down to other devotees, than people from the other cultures. Even the other religious cultures, they criticize. Why bow down to an ordinary man? But they do not have the humility to appreciate that this so-called ordinary man is not an ordinary man. This person is a devotee. And every devotee matters. As we read a little while ago in the fourth chapter of the ninth canto, as you read by the time, that when Devasamuni approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayana, in Vaikuntha, to be saved from the attack of the Sudarshan Chakra, so he appealed in different ways for protection and mercy like that. But then Lord Narayana responded that, first thing he said, that the devotees are so dear to me. The devotees are extremely dear to me. And then he said, what to speak of my devotees, even those who are simply devotees of my devotees, are very dear to me. So that means even people who are not really devotees of the Lord, but somehow or other they have some attachment for devotees. If they were also devotees of the Lord, and not simply devotees of the devotees, if they were also devotees of the Lord, then there's no need to refer to them as a different group from those who are devotees. Because after all the devotees are also devotees of the devotees. All the devotees of the Lord are also devotees of the devotees. But this category that the Lord refers to as being not his devotees, but devotees of his devotees. It means, just like that, that somehow or other they're just attached to the devotees, although they're not really devotees of the Lord. But the Lord says, these people are also very dear to me. So, someone who is dear to the Lord, in one way or another, then of course to bow down, offer them respect, then of course this is good. This is a very nice thing in Krishna consciousness, in terms of humility. But for those who do not appreciate humility, and you do not appreciate devotees or even other people, perhaps, if they see some display of respect being displayed, being made like that, then they get disturbed and become arrogant about it. Yes. But otherwise, we should try to get the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord, of the devotees. This is an important interest of the devotees. But in Kali Yuga, everything is mixed up. That prior now, Satya, Kalas Vinigajana, Manda Su Manda Matayo, Manda Bhagya Hupajita. In this iron age of Kali, people are short-lived. They're quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. So these are the conditions of Kali Yuga. And the Kurus here, in their sarcastic way, a very rude way, they are saying, implying against Kala Gatya Durachita, just see a whole Mata Chitra. How amazing! How amazing that the unavoidable passage of time, how it is going on. In other words, they knew we're at the end of Dwapara Yuga, and what comes next, it's not going to be long. It will be Kali Yuga. So they're saying, just see the passage of time. In other words, Kali Yuga has arrived prematurely. At least these people, they are exhibiting the symptoms of Kali Yuga. But they are addressing this to Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram is Kali Malapa, as was just stated. He is the purifier of the Kali Yuga. So surely we can understand that the Kurus, in fact, they are the ones who have become controlled by Kali Yuga and influenced by Kali Yuga, or just simply interested by Maya, influenced by Maya, because Maya does not act only in Kali Yuga. Maya is prolific. She will act at any time under any circumstances. She will act. Where there is a gap, she will find it. Yes, so Kali Yuga degrades like this. The Kurus are influenced by that degrading potency. And therefore they're speaking this nonsense to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who they just bow down to. Anyway, this is really not, they're not thinking properly. And this is what happens. This is Kali Yuga. So Krishna consciousness means, in this Kali Yuga, Krishna consciousness means that we have to take shelter of Lord Chaitanya and take shelter of Lord Balaram as Lord Nityananda. Take shelter of the Panchatattva. Take shelter of the Sankirtan movement. Otherwise, there is no real possibility of becoming saved from the influence of Kali Yuga. Kali Doshi Devaraja, we mentioned yesterday, I think, that this Kali Yuga, Shukadeva Swami describes it as an ocean of thoughts. It is not an ocean of nice things, which happens to have some faults here and there, so we must watch out that the faults don't hit us. But otherwise it's okay. No, it is an ocean of faults. It is only faults. And if somehow you come across something which is not faulty, then, well, this is very strange. It was very extraordinary. Yes. Just like we know, there are the qualities, or the, yes, qualities, austerity, mercy, truthfulness, cleanliness. So, we understand in Kali Yuga, cleanliness is gone. Sometimes in the airports, we have to use the public facilities. And when we do, we notice some people coming out straight out. They don't stop at the wash basin. Yes. So cleanliness. Cleanliness is gone. In many people's minds, cleanliness means to take bath in a bathtub. You get in dirty. You wash and you soak. You wash the dirt off into the water. So now you have dirty water. And you lie in the dirty water. And the dirt gets back on you. And then you get out thinking, you've had enough. Just see. This is cutting again. Where is the cleanliness? And mercy, of course. Mercy is unknown. Even you get these charitable organizations. And if you look into it, you see 95% or even more of the money they collect to save the children and this, that, and the other thing just goes to pay the workers. And indeed, many people, they start charities so that they can get a good income easily, because people like to give to charity. It's a lot easier than trying to sell people things they don't want. So, start a charity. People give lots of money. You can give yourself the same salary, and it's easy. So, simply to make money for themselves, they start a charity. And just to save face, they give some small amount. So where is the mercy? Killing the children within the womb. Killing the animals. Where is the mercy? And austerity. Where is the austerity? Getting up early in the morning. This is not popular. Not a popular activity. And of course, they're so much into indulging their senses, eat, drink, and be merry, and all these things, clothes and cars and fancy places to live and whatever. So where is the austerity? There is no austerity. It's gone. So Srila Prabhupada said that. Actually, it's discussed in that chapter in the first canto, where the personality of Kali is attacking Dharma and the cow, particularly Dharma, in the form of bull. So, Baba makes the point, the only quality which is left of those four, and it is under very serious attack, is truthfulness. Yes, I was on the airplane coming down on Tuesday. Had a look at the newspaper about the ANC elections. And this big article, full page article, or anyway, many pictures, but anyway, it was quite a big thing, was saying that it is not a question if one of these two, we won't mention them, is corrupt. It is just a question of who is more or less corrupt. And they are the leaders, actually, of the country, in fact. So truthfulness, Kali, the personality of Kali Yuga, had already cut off austerity, mercy, cleanliness, those names of the bull of religion, cut them off, they were just gone. And he was trying to cut off in the process of cutting off the last leg, which is truthfulness. And yes, so it's like this, Kaledoshinigayaraja. If we do not take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, and his process of Krishna consciousness, even we try to take shelter of some other avatar, actual avatar, form of Lord. Even we try to follow Bhagavad Gita. Today, of course, was the meant to be the anniversary of the day Bhagavad Gita was spoken. But even we follow Bhagavad Gita without following Lord Chaitanya, We will falter, will not be successful in Kali Yuga only by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya can one progress, and certainly only by His mercy can one go back to Godhead, or can the world be changed. And when Bhagavad Gita is distributed on this basis, in this way, then it's very wonderful and can help change the world. Yes, so Kali Yuga is very dangerous. As soon as we give up the shelter of Lord Chaitanya, means as soon as we stop chanting nicely, as soon as we stop participating nicely in the Sankirtan movement, then everything else essentially it becomes part of Kali Yuga. Ends up that one is just caught up by Kali Yuga. So today is the appearance day of Bhagavad Gita. There will be a program this evening at 7:30. In the temple room, is it? In the temple room, His Holiness Krishnadas Swami Maharaj will be addressing us on the glories of Bhagavad Gita. So let us remember Bhagavad Gita, but let us not forget that everything in this Kali Yuga, everything in Krishna consciousness has to come via Lord Chaitanya, the Sankirtan movement. There's no other way. Any comment or question? Yes. Now,
sir. Last time there was a related Gurmaj discussing about Bhishma being one of the six soul warriors of the Shama. So I was wondering about this fact that he being a devotee of the Lord, who was attacking the Lord's descendant and son, and also in Drupadi was being the strawberry in the process of the Lord's
Question is about Bhishma participating in this capturing of Sundar and attacking him, and other things like disrobing or not objecting to the attempt to undress Draupadi and some other things. Well, as we know, Bhishma came by the Lord's arrangement under the influence of the illusory energy. Yeah. Therefore he fought against Krishna, against the Pandavas, who previously he had done everything to protect. So by the Lord's arrangement, just as Arjuna came under the illusory, the influence of illusion, by the Lord's arrangement, so he could speak Bhagavad Gita, so Bhishma also, by the Lord's arrangement, came under the influence of illusion. Any other comment or question? Srila Prabhupada ki.